In case you hadn't heard, the price of the stuff you buy at the store, it didn't go up much last month. It's the Business News Hour for Wednesday, the 12th day of June. Thanks, everybody, for clicking through. Oil stocks actually rose, and the gas price is headed further down. On the retail front, Walmart and tariffs, Kohl's and store closings. Huawei to scrap the launch of its anticipated laptop, and we'll tell you why. But wait a minute. Whoa, what? Amazon didn't succeed on something? How about a submarine car? We've got that story and more, along with our Out to Lunch guest, political organizer Pete D'Alessandro. Today, you'll get to listen in on our business lunch and learn so much more about the epicenter of politics in Iowa. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand. NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Business News Hour. I'm your host, Michael Libby. You want to reach out to us on Twitter? You can do that. We are at IOB_NewsHour. Me personally, you can find me on Twitter as well, at Michael Libby. Libby is spelled L-I-B-B-I-E. Well, this morning, before the bell, the Commerce Department released the May Consumer Price Index, and it was sort of a thud. U.S. consumer prices barely rose in May as a rebound in the cost of food was offset by cheaper gasoline, pointing to moderate inflation that could increase pressure on the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates this year. But the key word there is could. The Fed's preferred inflation measure, which is the core personal consumption expenditures price increase, there's a mouthful for you, that increased by 1.6% in the year to April. Data for May will be released later this month. The core index has been running below the Fed's 2% target this year. And the Fed, well, it gets going next week, and there's not an expected rate cut coming out of that meeting. So let's pick apart the consumer price index and see what cost more and what cost less. Gasoline prices fell by 0.5% in May after rising by over 5% in April. Food prices rebounded by 0.3% in May. Food consumed at home also increased by the same number, 0.3%. Rent continues to increase. It was up 0.3% in May. That's the same increase as in April. Healthcare costs also increased by 0.3%, matching April's rise. But the price for prescription medication actually fell by 0.2. Apparel prices were unchanged in May after tumbling 0.8 in April. Prices for used motor vehicles and trucks tumbled 1.4%, marking the fourth straight monthly drop. The cost of motor vehicle insurance also fell, the most since 2007. There were also decreases in the cost of recreation. However, prices for airline tickets, household furnishings, and new vehicles all rose last month. So now you know. U.S. crude oil stockpiles rose unexpectedly for a second straight week, despite the highest refining rates in 6 months and lower imports and production. In addition, gasoline inventories also increased. All of that caused oil stocks to lose ground today, but should be good news for consumers who earlier this year had been told that gas, nationally, would now be above $3 a gallon. But in fact, it's now at $2.72 a gallon, according to AAA. Walmart has updated the information network used daily by its suppliers to let them submit cost increases that are directly attributable to higher U.S. tariffs on Chinese goods. The retailer introduced the tool dubbed Cost Change Scenario about a year ago, and it's been rolling it out across product categories. The move shows how the world's largest retailer, which sells billions of dollars of goods made in China annually, is incorporating the reality of tariffs in its day-to-day operations. Walmart emerged relatively unscathed from the first round of tariffs on imports from America's largest trading partner, but and you knew there would be one. But that's changed with the U.S. bumping levies to 25% on $200 billion worth of goods, including handbags and furniture, then initiating a separate process to tax another $300 billion, including clothing, shoes, and electronics. In other retail news today, Kohl's will close its off-aisle stores, ending a four-year-old foray into discount retailing. The four stores, three in Wisconsin and one in New Jersey, will close by August 3rd. Off-aisle was started back in 2015 as an outlet to sell deeply discounted items that customers had returned to Kohl's. The surprising thing is that the stores don't seem to be closing because they were not successful, but rather because improved inventory management at regular Kohl's department stores has left the firm unable to supply the off-aisles with enough merchandise. China tech giant Huawei has scrapped the launch of its new laptop as a result of being effectively barred from doing business with American suppliers. It's the first product launch the company has canceled as a result of being put on a blacklist restricting its access to U.S. technology. When asked if the laptop could be launched at a later date, the company said, well, that kind of depends on how long the company is on the blacklist. Huawei relies on U.S. technology for significant parts of its consumer products. Its top-of-the-line MateBook 10 Pro runs Microsoft Windows operating system and uses chips by Intel. While the majority of Huawei's consumer revenue is driven by its smartphones, it said that it wants to become one of the biggest PC makers in the world. While Huawei's smartphones don't appear to be affected, experts have warned that being blocked from accessing U.S. tech could harm the company. Well, you might find this hard to believe, but Amazon has actually failed at something. The company is closing its U.S. restaurant delivery service, a four-year-old business that failed to take off amid fierce competition from Uber Eats, DoorDash, and others. The service called Amazon Restaurants offered delivery in more than 20 U.S. cities. It expanded into the United Kingdom, but Amazon shut down the service in that country late last year. The closure of the U.S. business will happen on June 24th. At Tesla's annual shareholder meeting yesterday, CEO Elon Musk said his company has designed a submarine car like the one from the 1977 James Bond movie, The Spy Who Loved Me. A shareholder asked the CEO if Tesla would ever make an aquatic car, which prompted the discussion. Musk said, quote, well, you can actually have a submarine car. It's, like, technically possible. I think the market for this will be small but enthusiastic, end quote. He went on to say, quote, it would be a bit of a distraction, but maybe we'll make one as a show car, end quote. In his personal life, Musk is the owner of the Wet Nelly, which was made as a custom submarine by Perry Oceanographic for use in The Spy Who Loved Me. The car is shaped like a Lotus Esprit S1. That would be a sports car. Tesla is in the midst of a number of expensive projects, including the establishments of a new battery and car plant in Shanghai and setting up new lines to begin production of its crossover SUV, the Model Y, in Fremont, California. Well, it's an aftershock of the Great Recession as nearly 100,000 loans that allowed senior citizens to tap in their home's equity have failed. And that has had a major impact on elderly borrowers and their families and dragging down property values in their neighborhoods. In many cases, the worst toll has fallen on those ill-equipped to shoulder it. Urban African Americans, many of whom worked for most of their lives, then found themselves struggling in retirement. Alarming reports from federal investigators 5 years ago led the Department of Housing and Urban Development to initiate a series of changes to protect seniors. But USA Today's review of government foreclosure data found a generation of families fell through the cracks and continue to suffer from reverse mortgage loans written a decade ago. Elderly homeowners were wooed into borrowing money through the special program by attractive sales pitches or a dire need for cash or both. When they missed a paperwork deadline or fell behind on taxes or insurance, lenders moved swiftly to foreclose on their home. Those foreclosures wiped out hard-earned generational wealth built in the decades since the Fair Housing Act of 1968. In zip codes where most residents make less than $40,000 a year, the analysis found reverse mortgage foreclosure rates were 6 times higher in black neighborhoods than in white ones. The foreclosure disparity resembles a more familiar scenario from the late 2000s when subprime lenders targeted specific neighborhoods with risky loans doomed to fail, according to the nation's lead reverse mortgage researcher. Well, you know, there are workers out there who fear getting a raise. As the cost of living picks up, some low-paid workers are actually reluctant to accept a pay bump out of concern it will actually leave them worse off. In a dynamic called the cliff effect, some employees fear that earning a bit more through a promotion or minimum wage increase can reduce their standard of living if it pushes their income to a point where they'll lose access to public benefits like housing vouchers or Medicaid. But calculating the overall effects of a higher income can be a challenge because the benefits are administered by a web of federal, state, and local agencies, and it takes time to sort all this out. And frankly, people working two or three jobs don't have much of that. Coming up, and just a click away, I go out to lunch with political organizer Pete D'Alessandro. And you get to listen in. Click through for more.